Game on! He shoots, he scores! Oh. One for one!
That is going wild!
Score!
The hockey guys are on the air.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
The hockey guys, the tradition continues.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Good morning. Good morning, hockey fans. This is UND time. 3 points away from solely clinching the Penrose Trophy. We were supposed to have the Commissioner Josh Fenton on this morning to talk about the playoffs up in Grand Forks and the quarterfinals and all that fun stuff that Eddie and I have been talking about.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Oh, I'm ahead of myself. But he is on an airplane flying to Grand Forks with a big case,
with a silver trophy. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Yeah, but we're not players. We're old guys. We can get it.
You got to respect the game.
Yeah, we can't jinx ourselves.
Respect the game.
Yeah, as you're drinking Hams, coffee, having a cigar. Yeah. He's flying to Grand Forks.
Gunnar, here's what's good, right? We've gotten away with the RA being able to raffle off our 30-pack of Hams. We're gonna start smoking cigars in the studio now.
Yeah.
No, So we can drink Hams beer, eat bacon and eggs, drink coffee.
Life's good.
I could go for a good breakfast right now.
All we need is a good cigar.
Yeah.
I think we're pushing the edge of the envelope.
The hipster said, you know what? What's lacking this morning is a nice cigar. And I said, I get it. Hey.
Yeah. Take the feet up.
But, Ed, we have to start non-lit, and eventually we come with a lighter, and then eventually
Small
Smith
steps.
Does it, so if he gets fired, we're okay. And then you can do it, and if you get fired, I'm
so,
okay.
True life, well, this morning I...
Spence will be behind you the whole way.
This morning I see a young gentleman wearing a jersey heading to the rink, and it's Sue Green, so I had to acknowledge that I like the color of your jersey.
As
he's leaving the door, I said, go win. His dad said, we'll try. I didn't have time to educate his dad, Spence.
Oh, well, next time.
I mean, that poor kid with a dad that says, go try hard. Come on. Go say win. Go win.
Well, yeah, but.
Go do it.
Effort.
Anything but try. What an excuse.
Ed, Spence, here I am over at the Gordman building yesterday in line to get my COVID shot.
He dressed up as an old guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I showered and combed my hair.
He saw the article from Florida about two 20-year-olds. He thought, I could probably pull this off.
He's called me Mr. Bojangles. What's your name, Mr. Bojangles? But there was a nurse there with a UND hockey jersey on. And I said,
I walked right out.
I said, you're a great American. So she was giving all those shots with the UND jersey on. And I tell you what, I had the shot. My arm didn't hurt, but last night I grew a pair of breasts. I don't know if that has anything to do with the shot or not, but that's what happened.
You look cute.
Yeah, thank you. Told my son I got to go try a training bra out there, but I don't know if that goes away soon. Hey, getting back to UND. Beat Omaha last night. Just a dominating performance. And you have to give credit to Omaha. Mike Abinette, their head coach, he has an awesome team. Omaha is a good team. And they played UND a ton this year. And UND's got just a dynamite team, a veteran team, players that have come back to win the Penrose, the championship. So Omaha's been put in a tough place. Unfortunately, when those losses come to them, they move down in the playoffs. But when they are in the standings. But they've got a good team. UND tonight, if they win.
That Penrose means nothing.
That's just the start of it. To this team, it means nothing.
This is how I view the Penrose. You know, you get into the frozen faceoff, you can have some puck luck. You can have a hot goaltender. You know, you can crap the bucket, so to stay, in one game and you're out, okay? But you look at the Penrose, it is a long haul. You get rid of all the intangibles. It does weed out that top team in the NCHC. But I agree with you, Ed, from here on, it means nothing. because, again, you got puck luck, you've got COVID, you've got injuries, you've got a hot goaltender, and you take a look at what Duluth has done the last 3 years, and they weren't up there. They didn't.
Right now, Duluth is in trouble.
Yeah.
Although Duluth, the Dogs, next weekend, the Dogs get to go at it.
Who let the Dogs out?
Well, at least you guys had a dominant
performance. You've got the Bulldogs and you've got the Huskies next weekend. So that'll be interesting because that'll be interesting weekend for the Dogs before they head into that.
That's going to be a good game. Is that in St. Cloud or is that up in Duluth?
That's maybe a question to get the 30 back today.
Yeah. Because if it's St. Cloud, maybe we can run down for a game.
Yeah.
Well, it's in Minnesota. They don't let anyone in the ring.
I was going to say either place. But we could do either place would be in Minnesota.
But we could do our show.
I thought you were going to say we could go to Duluth.
I'm not driving to Duluth. I've done that too many times.
But. Hey, Spence, just give us a real brief update on the Little M.
It was not a dominant performance, but we snuck out a victory. I thought it was quite sloppy last night, but... You know, when you let two garbage time goals in, it doesn't help.
Well spoken, yeah, Spence.
You did well.
Hey, a victory
Spencer
is a victory.
Joel Sagoon.
Wanted to make sure we acknowledged a Little M. I was at a game on Thursday night and got introduced as the guy that's brave enough to say Little M on the radio.
Well, you're safe
at
in
least
that
people
part.
Are, at least people are listening, right, Spencer?
Yeah, there you go.
Hey. At your, at
you're
your,
safe around
at,
here.
At
you're
your
good.
Peril. Hey, they look cute again last night, though.
But
they had on the golden Breezers.
I know, and you know what's funny is when I was watching the game in the middle of the game, you popped up in my head. I'm like, oh, the Breezer, I swear, if they lose in this game, you got to stop. No. You're getting psychologically in our head.
Now, Spence, what's worse, saying the words Little M or what I said this show, maybe I shouldn't have, A, crap the bucket, or B, grew a pair of breasts.
What's worse?
Yeah. The three.
Well, one is...
Maybe the Little Lamb.
One is offensive. The other two are right.
Little M? Listen, we... what was our question? Where's that game being played next weekend? The Dogs
well,
and the 50-50,
Huskies? 50-50. So,
I was going to suggest UND...
And our hams, our case of ham beer is dwindling down.
UND takes care of it. It doesn't matter where it's played. UND wins tonight. It doesn't matter where the Dogs play.
Right, but...
Nobody's going to care.
One game at a time.
I don't know. I just like going to the St. Cloud games and...
I think he wants an excuse to go out there.
He's
doing it for work.
Hearing the opponent saying... Husky cheerleaders. Husky cheerleaders.
Is he going to buy us some cutouts?
It's better than Dog cheerleaders, right?
You may have the potential, just kind of trying to figure out where the world might be. It looks like you're going to end up in the grand scheme of things with Duluth being a factor.
They always are. They're a team that's built for the postseason.
They will have to win the NCHC tournament in order to get to the Big 16. Yep.
I see that. I don't know.
I'm just letting you know. I mean, so no, they're going to, they're, I mean, it's, hey, it's going to be interesting.
But I think it's the reputation of the name.
All right, here, program. Grab your beverage. Spence, all right, here we go. Want you to know I called Hams Brewery, tried to get to their advertising department. I made it to their legal department. And I said, hey, I'm a lawyer, but I'm not calling for a legal question.
Why does he have to throw that in? That has nothing to do with it.
But that was the only number they published. And I said, can you please have your advertising company give us a call? Because we drink Hams beer. We have an endorsement from Zach Parise coming up as our bumper coming into the next period. But nobody called me. You know what?
Yet. Office is closed in Milwaukee.
Yet.
Yeah.
Well, that and was yesterday, what, Friday. Yeah, they closed Friday. On Friday?
Yet.
Well, today's Saturday, so yeah, they're not going to be in there.
All right, so I'm going to make another phone call on Tuesday. But
if he would have played the game as impatient as he plays life, he might have made it.
If anybody knows the phone number to Hams Advertising, give the station a call, give them the number, say give this to Bradall.
You know, well, we're going to get Google hams. This, right?
I did.
Okay.
The only number that came up was
I think hams is bigger than Pink Whitney.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's good. That means hams is bigger. You don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm more familiar with, yeah. The two M's.
Hey, who's our guest coming up this show?
Yeah, we should probably get to that, huh?
Teresa?
Well, it won't be until the 8:35 we'll have the video coach for Providence College, who also went with the coach and did an unbelievable job with that junior team and reached out right after and scheduled for Jeff and for coach worked out this morning. So we will get a perspective on the game. And I've got a,
and
I've got a question.
Calls. Yeah,
but I think it's more than that.
271-1100.
And after this break, we're going to come back and we're going to discuss the NCAA has finally came out and said what's going to happen with fans during the regionals. So we better have that discussion.
Did they mention our show on there?
You know, we haven't gotten the...
Come on, Ed. Yeah, now I'm calling hams. You call the NCAA.
Right.
Oh, we have already called out the NCAA. We did that last Saturday. I'm just trying to figure out if the Shields Arena is ready to start building suites because I have to see the definition of capacity.
But well, you're
we'll come
to,
back after this break and we'll have a little discussion. A little shout out to Cullen Installation. Kept us warm through this cold snap. And finally, we're showing up at the studio and the sun's up, Spencer, right? You're kind of confused. So we'll be back 8:18 on the Hockey Guys.
Hey, it's Zach Parisi, and you're listening to the Hockey Guys.
My only son.
Zach, hey, Christian and I have a hockey show here at the station called the Hockey Guys. And we drink ham beer and... the case, what's ever left over, we give to a fan.
They roll dice, too, during the show, Zach.
Ham's beer.
Yeah. Ham's beer.
Really nice.
And we roll dice to see who pays for breakfast.
Perfect.
Well, let's shake the dice and see if Zach buys breakfast this morning, Ed.
6549.
He lost. How old is it that every time?
6549.
All right.
We're playing 6-5-4 this morning. I think Jeff's playing.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. What you know about that?
No, in all seriousness, 271-1100, 701-271-1100. We have Teresa Feaster on. She was the first female coach of a U.S. national junior team. She was a video coach. And anybody out there that has a young hockey player and you get on your iPhone and you show the video of your player's trip or your a shift out there from time to time, what should you be looking for, how critical should you be, etc. Here's an opportunity to visit with, frankly, one of the top video coaches in the country, and that's coming up at 8:35. And here we go, Ed,
and the director of hockey ops for Providence College.
What do I need to beat you?
You have to qualify with a 6-5-4.
Right. And you got to keep a dice.
I got a 6-5-4.
Yeah, he's out.
He's the one that keeps the all the sixes, and then he has to get up.
Jeff's buying breakfast this morning.
And I want
a little shout-out to Rhett. Rhett's the 4-year-old that wants to be involved in the game of hockey, so I had to have a little visit with a parent. They said it's too expensive. I said it's cheaper than you sitting at a place with the guy that knows you drinking all the time. So just take that money you'd spend and put it into activities and kids. So there was no rebuttal to that question. But little shout out to Rhett. Take up the game. Enjoy the game.
It's a lot cheaper than paying bail.
In your world.
And an attorney.
Don't forget he's an attorney.
When you're on cold ice, you're out of hot water. Put it that way.
And no, to all the fans, and hey, did anybody catch, there was a little clip of a swimming pool in Texas, and there was a guy dangling on the 10-by-14 pool, but he was dangling nice. Ice in Texas, the sport's going to boom again. People skating down the streets, and little shout out there to family. Grandkids thought it was pretty cool to be roasting hot dogs on the fireplace when the power was out. So they saw it as a camping trip. They didn't see it as a major event.
You know how much money Cullen Insulation could have made or could make if they were down there right now? The best insulation company in the world down in Texas. They'll probably start a an office down there. All these homes, no insulation. Just put the walls in insulation. We know up here the heat goes out. You're good for about, a Cowan insulation home, a week before it starts getting cold in there. What do you think about that, Ed?
No, great idea. But if they called you to drive the bus, you'd probably tell them that you couldn't stay awake that long.
Yeah, that's true. I've been known to go in and out of ditches from time to time. Say, we had a text message, Ed, last show, and I didn't see it. I picked it up. We got to make sure we ask Coach Feaster about that question. I'm trying to pull that up on my phone here.
Advice you would give to a 9-year-old that wants to play both on and off the ice, if my memory is correct? Which is an awesome question. So, in the game of college hockey, the NCAA knows three sites. There's one site that they will announce this week as to where the regionals will be. But otherwise, it looks like capacity. Gooner's going to be 25%. So my question is, 25% of what? Is that
what I was going to say?
Is that 25% of the building? Two rink facility, no doors between, hockey guys sitting in the lobby. That's what's our capacity on the hockey guys? We could probably bring in 25,000-30,000 people for the show. And if we take 25% of that, the rink is full, right?
I was going to say at least a 5,000 for sure.
So keep posted. We'll keep chirping.
Well, that'd be a hard time. That'd be a hard percentage for the Gophers to fill.
It's been a while.
Went and watched a couple of the Warriors were in town, and they've got a couple of women's hockey college-bound gals playing on that team. They were playing against a team locally. And after that, we had the Fargo North and the West Fargo Packers game, so I got to watch a couple of periods. And a friend, Jeff, was telling the story of, somebody getting into it with a coach, and I said, well, there's not a lot of those stories out there, so we better not talk anymore.
You know what? Hockey would be a great game if the parents would just sit back and enjoy and watch it. The problem is there's just too many coaches up in the stands.
Not enough parents.
Not enough parents.
What has been great?
Living vicariously through their kids on the ice.
What has been great? Going to the rink during COVID-19 situation is the rinks are quieter. And when the rinks are quieter and you don't have all the chaos going on,
it's more constructed game.
I think it's helped. I think it's mellowed some people out. So not as much chaos in the stands as I'm used to.
So would you correlate development with this era of less fans?
I will say this one time. They started playing music at the puck drop, and I think it started to take away the game of hockey. Because, again... when that whistle blows and you're making the changes and the coaches are there and they're having to scream at the player over the music,
right,
all it does is just add to the chaos.
Well, and it hypes up, the adrenaline starts kicking. Are you, when adrenaline kicks, are you going to, it's fight or flight. Not everyone
has. All right, I'm going to repeat this.
We'll be careful how we answer that, but based on your personality type, you either do or you don't, so which team do you want to have?
Okay, I'm going to repeat this. We have 271-1100 coming up in 10 minutes, roughly. The first female coach ever to be involved in a coaching staff on a USA Hockey World Junior team. And she's the video coach of the USA gold medal team and is involved for about 10 years in the Providence program. And we've interviewed Phil Johnson, Ted Donato, Nate Lehman. Lehman, the head coach, Dr. Phil, the doc, Ted Donato, assistant coach. Now we have the opportunity to visit with the video coach.
So we need to ask her, with those personalities involved, that's got to be a full-time job.
I was just going to say, yeah, bro.
But we want some phone calls. We want some phone calls. It's, to me, it's just not a hockey question. I think it's a life question.
Or call in with your best fan in the stands parent situation that you've experienced in youth hockey.
PG.
and we'll see what we come up with to get.
Yeah, you know how to get calls? Call in and tell us what your kid's coach is doing wrong.
Leave out the name.
No, here's the question, Ed, and we got to make sure we ask this to Coach Feaster. All right. And I think, thank goodness we didn't ask this to Frank Ceratori
last week.
What advice would you give a 9-year-old that is trying to be the best he can be in hockey and sports? The best he can be on and off the ice.
Did I miss on my quote about 5 minutes ago, Gunnar? I had it memorized, and
I didn't pay attention.
The genius to my right, he had to go find it on his phone. But it was driving him a little bit. I could see it was driving a little batty. He wasn't as chatty as he normally is.
Yeah, he was focused.
Yeah, he got caught up.
And I'll give you my 2 cents.
He got caught up in the search.
All right, Terry, I'm going to tell a quick story.
I'm going to tell a quick story. I'll give you my 2 cents, and then you can finish off the period. My view, if you want to be the best hockey player, you want to be the best track runner. You want to be the best long-distance runner. You want to be the best lacrosse player. You want to be the best chess player. You want to win every time playing hoops outside. You want to be able to get your skills all over the different sports events. And I'll put it this way. Remember, Ed, when we did the try it out for UND, running around the football track, you know, trying to see how fast we can do. All right. Here I am.
Follow me.
In high school, I'm an All-American 400, okay? I ran it at 49-something. This was yards, not meters. There were two people ahead of me that finished ahead of me.
Follow me.
Eddie, who said follow me, and I thought, what a butthole. I'm going to kick his. But I did follow him, and you know who beat Eddie? Tony Herkus and Perry Bears, and there were three people.
No, Herkus wasn't my era.
That was the next year when I said I was going to win it. But all right, here I'm an All-American 400-yard, and three guys end up beating me. That tells you want to be the best athlete you can be. Now, you've got your 5 minutes.
You know what's amazing about it, and again, very fortunate to be around the right people who want to help you, but somebody said, how do you... What would you give advice to somebody that wants to make it? They can make it to wherever they set their goals and whatever effort they give for themselves. And the people that are beside you, they're the ones that are going to help you along the way. But there isn't anybody that's going to motivate you. There isn't anybody that's going to instill. There isn't anybody that's going to do it. There isn't anybody that's going to... So in the world that we're in, it still comes down, I think, to an individual. So also shout out to Baggins Strinden, our period sponsor. And we'll be back on the Hockey Guys with Coach Feaster. And Jeff's got a slate of questions that he's been working on all week.
Jack Parisi, and you're listening to the Hockey Guys.
Zach, one of the things I'll always remember of you is your compete level and the guts you have to go in front of the net and take the abuse from all those big guys. How did you learn to have that compete level to compete every shift, all over the ice, full speed? You're just competing.
Kind of the way I was raised, kind of, I guess, what my dad taught me about the game. And, you know, he would always tell me that how hard he had to work just to stay in the league. You kind of find.
And we're back on the Hockey Guys.
Now, I don't know, something happened. The gremlins within the computers.
Coach
Feaster, are you there?
Yes, you got me.
Oh, awesome. Welcome to the Hockey Guys. I'll tell you what, Zach Parisi was going to say that at his size and his weight, he had to work harder than anyone on the ice, and he wished he had a shot that when he shot the first time would go in the net, but he never did. So he always has to get two shots at it to score one goal. But if you've ever watched Zach Parisi, a former UND hockey player, one of the NHL greats right now playing, you would know exactly what he's saying. But welcome to the Hockey Guys, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we had Coach Lehman on, your head coach of Providence, head coach of the World Junior team. We had Ted Donato. We had Dr. Phil, the original Dr. Phil. We saved the best for last. The first female. Yeah, the first female coach of a U.S. national team, the video coach. And I literally say, that's nothing. First female, that's nothing. I look at your skill and your skill level, and that's way more impressive than the former. Here's the question I got for you, Coach. How did you get into coaching and at the men's level? You're the hockey ops director, and then getting into the world junior teams. What path did you follow?
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting path. I grew up around the game. My dad worked in pro hockey my whole life, so I kind of in the back of my mind that it was something that I always wanted to do. You know, growing up, I thought, hey, I want to do this. You know, professionally. And then when I got to college, I went to PC, and I asked Coach Lehman if I could kind of come on board as a student volunteer. And I was fortunate that he said yes. And then I worked for the team for 2 years as a student volunteer. And then I got my master's degree and was a graduate assistant. And then fortunate that the hockey ops role opened up. And then I was hired to do that. And I'm really grateful that he gave me that first opportunity as a student, and that I was able to stay on board and kind of grow it into a larger role. And then really fortunate that when Coach Lehman got the call for the U.S. team, that he asked if I'd want to be on his staff as the video coach. And obviously I was thrilled and jumped on that. So, you know, it was a lot of fortunate bounces, and you know, I'm really grateful to be where I am right now.
Coach, in your some articles and some things that we picked up on, this is Eddie Christian here, and kind of noted that, like all of us, we all said, okay, our goal is to be in the NHL and win the Stanley Cup, right? So that's kind of the upbringing that for a lot of us that came out of the world of hockey, that was kind of everything. And in your comment, you're kind of like the hockey guys. We've kind of said, hey, we're going to focus on college hockey. So that's our niche. We just say, hey, we like to focus on college hockey, the things that kids are coming in, kids are involved, and then, of course, within the concept of our show. And I had a quote that you had here that you said that was your aspire to GM and be in that NHL level, and now you're kind of looking and saying, I love college hockey. Just kind of let us know what in your position, the college hockey game, just expound on that comment that I saw that you had made.
Yeah, and I think you guys know that there's so many great things about college hockey that make it so unique and make it such a great game that we all know of. And you know, I think for me, you know, the biggest thing when I first got around a team was it's pretty cool to kind of build your team. You know, you start recruiting these guys when they're pretty young and to watch them grow and progress, and then you're with them for 4 years. And you know, there's something about that I really enjoy and I really like. And I think that the product is as good as any hockey that there is. So it's fast, it's great hockey, it's incredible skill. So you're not really trading anything on the other side. And you know, I think the college game is great, and I think it just keeps getting better. And you know, I think it's something that's really unique, and it's a great sport to be a part of.
I'm going to bring you back to the World Juniors. You're having the team together, or parts or pieces of it, and you got video teed up on a big screen or laptops or iPads. Walk us through the process of how in-depth you go or not in-depth. You know, when I sit down with my 14-year-old son and I videotape a shift, I complain that his skates aren't tied tight enough. I can't make it through a 30-second shift. So walk us through what you would do, Coach.
So, yeah, it's, you know, obviously there's a lot of different approaches you can take. And you know, even in a tournament like the World Junior, it's different than the way you would approach it during your college season even, just because the turnaround's so tight and really, you know, you end up playing – 7 games in basically 2 weeks. It's so compressed. So, you know, maybe in a college season where typically you're playing on a weekend, you know, maybe the same opponent or two opponents, and then you sort of have a week before you have to reset and play your next set of games. You know, you can obviously do more in-depth, more breakdown, but I think that was one of the things that the pace at the World Junior was something that, you know, I kind of had to adjust to. Is it was a lot more focused on yourself rather than opponents, especially as you get into the you know, the crossover and the medal rounds. Is, you know, you may not even know who you're playing until 24 hours before, right? So, you know, it's a lot more focused on you. And I think the other big thing too is in a tournament that quick, you're focusing on a lot of positives. You're focusing on how you want to play and how you want to execute and really, rather than maybe finding the examples of where you didn't do it well, you're focusing on the times that you did do it well and trying to get that message across and really focusing on the positives. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can get crazy in depth with the video. It's one of the unique things about video. It's one of the great things about video is you can sit there for hours and pull everything. And then I think that's, you know, part of the job of the staff is then, okay, here we've got hundreds of clips. You know, how do we find the 5 or 10 or 20 that are really the best ones and the ones that we want to, you know, focus on, and here are our teaching points. You know, I think sometimes that's the hard part because you do want to show so much, but trying to get that message across in a few clips is key.
Coach Feaster, I'm going to throw in that what you just explained, I think we need to layer this maybe a little bit. So you went into players are in their rooms trying to limit how many times you have all the players in the same space. You're the video coach, and you have three coaches that are calling you saying, I'm in charge of the goalies, I'm in charge of the defense, and I've got the forwards. I got to believe for you this was the video on steroids edition due to the fact that you had more, maybe what I envision, more small group sessions. So in your world, how much more difficult was this World Junior Tournament when it comes to the video side of the game?
I actually thought it was awesome. You know, and I think it's one of those unique things where, and maybe part of it was sort of the circumstances this year of you know, being in the bubble, and really the only thing we had to focus on was hockey. And, you know, I'm you know, kind of a video, a junkie, I guess. I love the video. So for me, it was great to wake up in the morning and know that the only thing you're focused on is the hockey and getting the clips together and having a PK meeting or a power play meeting or forward or as you say. So, you know, I didn't find it difficult. I thought it was great. It was one of those things where it was a different type of focus that you might have, but it was one of the things that I really enjoyed about the tournament. And I thought made the tournament a really great experience.
And for those coaches out there, and we have a lot of youth coaches out there listening to us, what I heard you just say earlier is that take 20 clips, 5 of them may be the players did it right, properly. 15, they didn't do it right. Take the 5 that the players did correctly, stress the positive, and teach from going on the positive standpoint rather than the negative. Is that how you take your approach, Coach?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's really huge. I mean, I think, you know, video's one of those things where obviously it's objective. You can't hide from the video. I think we've all heard that before. But it's also, it's a great tool as long as it's a teaching tool. And I think it's one of those things you don't want players, especially young players, you don't want them to have sort of negative feelings towards video or to be embarrassed by video or to feel like, oh, we got to go do video. I think it helps if you can learn and you can grow from it. And obviously, sometimes there's going to be times where they're coaching clips, no doubt. That's part of it. That's, you have to see kind of some of the things you have to do better or execute better. But I do think there's so much that you can get out from a positive standpoint and showing guys doing stuff the right way or positive habits, especially. I think that's a huge part. It's just part of the kind of, you know, growing and getting better from it and kind of having that mentality of that's how you're going to approach the video session.
And Coach, I have to believe with what you just shared with us that a lot of that is probably not so much placed on your video coach as it is on the coach himself. I mean, some coaches by nature call out things and other call out things. So that comes down to more of the overall. And that's the question for you. You had three, I think, coaches that are all driven the same, but did all three coaches have the same view on video and the usage of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, you know, that was pretty cool for me too. Is obviously I've worked with Nate for a long time, and actually I worked with Chris for quite a while, and Killer for a year, and got to know Teddy over the summer. So that was one of the things that I sort of focused in on when I first came on board, was talking to all those guys and, hey, you know, how do you like your clips? You know, do you want them broken down this way, that way? Do you like them post game? Do you like them in the morning? You know, just kind of finding out their work style for that stuff, because I wanted to get them what they wanted. And, you know, everybody does have a different approach to it, and everybody does have kind of a different way that they like to do things. But, I thought as a staff, we really gelled pretty well. And obviously, you know, the four of us having worked together, you know, at least for a season before, we did have a little bit of familiarity there, which, you know, kind of lowers the learning curve, I guess. And then, we were able to just sort of jump right in and kind of get going. But you're absolutely right. It does depend on the coach and their style and how they like to do things. And the video coach's job is to make sure that they have what they want and in a format that they like it, and really just making sure they have the tools to present the material in a way that works for them and their style. You're right there.
Well, Coach Feaster, you were on the NHL Network, and now you've been on The Hockey Guys. Cheers to you. Congratulations.
And then we'll invite you to Tradition Pond. I've got a little spot in the backyard, a couple of nets, let you set up the camera, and you can critique. I told Jeff maybe we'll ask her to go back and look at the 82 UND team that won a championship in Providence, and then critique all the things that we did right in order to win that game.
Get you a little bit of tape. I love it. That's great. Well, I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, congrats. Awesome. Good to see the U.S. with the gold in that junior level. And I agree, the talent of play and the coaches, obviously, attitude is the game. And it looks like you are part of a group of people that came together for the right reasons and gave it everything they had. So congrats. That's off.
Congratulations on a great tournament. And tell you what, breaking the barriers, we love it. Congratulations, Coach,
thanks.
And thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks guys, for having me. Appreciate it.
And the Hockey Guys will be back again, thanks to our show sponsor, Cullen Insulation. Jeff, when we come back, you're going to have to come up
with... give me another Hams beer,
come up
buddy.
With your subject here that you want to... Oh, we'll get her there for you. So, Gunnar, what do you think tonight? What do you have on the slate tonight for your little M? Are they going to, you know, and then, of course, you might have to watch Jeff and I have a little fun, because I'm sure you'll
we'll
keep
see
us
with
in the
you.
Loop.
We can't. A game like this, we have to dominate.
Why'd you throw it at me? Hey, Spence, come in here and open this, would you?
See how his arm, like, he's holding it?
Hey, if you were in the shape that I am at my age, you'd be blessed there, young man.
So, I would.
Hey, we'll be back on the Hockey Guys at 8:53, and we'll wrap this up.
Yes.
Welcome back to the Hockey Guys. Ed, playoffs coming up. The pairwise. We take the top two teams in each league. What's going to happen?
I'm going to go back to last week when Sarah Dory made the comment. The NCAA, so worst headline of the year. Ready for this, Gunnar?
You asked them if they were political, right?
The worst headline of the year. NCAA committee clarifies tournament selection.
I'm glad they clarified.
Yeah, well, after listening to us.
And then you read the article, we're going to use a combination of pairwise. Well, there is no pairwise. Well, then we're going to use mathematics. Well, there is no mathematics if you take out pairwise. And then we're going to make the right decisions.
Yeah, right.
And then the sites have been confirmed, it says. But we'll let you know
next
week.
We've got to move one site.
Yeah. So if you want to take a look at, yeah.
We're going to have no fans. And then we're going to have 25% of the
fans.
Well,
see, my thing is that 25% include vendors, team.
If we ask the questions, we might not be guilty. But if we show up at the rink and pack the house, what's the NCAA going to do?
They can't say no.
Now, there's a little thing that happened when I grew up in a place called War Road. The fire marshal would come to the rink and say, this is the capacity. The fire marshal would leave and they would open all the doors.
Well, that's one of those
and then
things,
people would come in. But if the doors are all open and they made it in, the doors are all open, they can make it out. I mean, if you're trying to keep people from not getting out, just open the doors. I mean, maybe they have to open all the doors, and this is an outside game, because I believe the limits for outside games is different than inside games. Maybe they need to relocate it over to Moorhead's new rink where you can roll up the garage doors and it's an outside game.
Well, the question is 25% of what?
No, that's the question. Yeah. Yeah. You're the attorney.
Yeah, right. Well, 25% of what?
Is he going to be representing us?
The population? Right. Better to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission.
All I'm suggesting is there should be an awesome turnout here for the West Regional.
We'll set up a screen in the parking lot and, you know, get it.
No, we're going to have our show out there. We're going to, Ed. We're going to have to figure that out. We got to get a keg of they have kegs of this stuff, don't they? Ham's beer, if not, we'll buy it in
bottom
can.
Shelf.
Hey, a kid from Minot.
You know, we'll have Eddie. We'll
Minot
have Jeff
drinking ham.
He's probably going to get a call from some of his buddies saying, come on, Jeff. You didn't really ask if Ham's was available in a keg.
He did, but we'll edit that out.
Or we may use that against him like over and over and over again.
Here's the question of the day.
Do you understand?
They have the best keg handles that I know.
I'm going to answer the question. Here's what I understand. AIC has came into this West Regional on a couple occasions. AIC right now in the pairwise rankings is not in 16th slot. They're in 9.
I like how you bring AIC. He has to fit it in once a show.
Atlantic Hockey. Atlantic Hockey has had a pretty major impact on the NCHC teams. So the question becomes, how does the NCAA take a team in their model saying they're going to use mathematics?
Right.
You know where I'm going with this little discussion, right?
Oh, yeah.
So time will tell. I envision that UMass in Springfield may be the host instead of Manchester. And that puts a whole different dynamic into the world of college hockey if it comes to the NCAA pairings. So
you know the problem I have with that, Ed, and it's a huge problem. If you and I were doing the mathematics, we would come up with 16 teams that probably 10 of those teams would be the same as somebody out east doing their mathematics, coming up with 16 teams. Who the heck is doing the mathematics? That's the problem I have.
I think
it's all political, and it's political from 9 on, and it always has been. You take a look at Duluth, they barely made it 2 years, and what happens? They win the national championship.
Yeah, so don't count them out this year.
And St. Cloud's coach is the rep. St. Cloud's coach is the NCHC rep, so there's a little bias there because I have a little bias against those Huskies because that is the workhorse of the
So do we make our way to that game?
That is the workhorse of the people that understand how to survive in the cold. But so yeah. it'll be interesting because when you take a look, Jeff, you're right on that. You know, the NCHC, I would suggest, doesn't have the political whim of the other people that are at that table, and there's a lot of packs I'm sure that have been made. So. You know, the Big Ten and the NCHC may not be there pulling in the same direction.
Coach Larson next week, should we get a hold of him?
We should get a hold of Coach Larson. Bring him on and just drill him on what he's going to make his decision based on.
Just hammer him.
Uh-huh.
Tie him down. Tie him in knots.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Hockey Guys, and we'll be back next Saturday.
Coach Larson's the coach at St. Cloud.
Yes, and the rep.
On the committee.
Next Saturday, back on the Hockey Guys. Thanks again to Cullen Insulation, our show sponsor.